Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussions.
Well, good afternoon. This is Ms. Sugar with Faith Based Purpose. Here on the show, we discuss different topics, and we bring a scripture to back up what we have to say. Now, today's topic is, we have more than one. Today, we're discussing several topics that were brought to us. One is, how does one know when he or she is saved? That's going to be one of the topics. The other topic is there such a place as purgatory? Is there such a place as purgatory? Another topic is everyone who is saved, is everyone that's saved also anointed? Okay, that is it, everyone that is saved, is that person anointed? The next one is going to be, is there a proper dress attire for women in ministry or women in the church in general or entering into the house of praise? Now, those are the topics that will be discussed today. And I am the moderator. Our host is Evangelist Patricia Williams. The co-host is Reverend Roosevelt Williams, and I'm not sure if Reverend Roosevelt will be able to join us today. He's had some personal illness that he's been dealing with, but I'm sure he will be back real soon. We have with us there we go. We had a little bit of noise there, but I think it worked itself out. Evangelist Williams, are you there? She's there, but I can't hear her. She's having some phone problems. Could you hang up? 936-672. Is this Evangelist Williams? I guess I should ask that question.
No, that's Sanders.
Excuse me? I can barely hear you.
After that, it's a Bobby.
Okay, was it Minister Bobby?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, your sound is completely distorted.
Okay,
would you do me a favor? Would you maybe hang up and call back in and see if it'll clear it up? Do you mind?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. And Evangelist Williams is on the line.
God bless you. I'm driving, so if it's a lot of noise, just let me know and I'll pull over to the side of the street.
Oh, no, ma'am. You're perfectly clear. Minister
okay.
Bobby's phone was kind of distorted.
Okay. I heard it.
But you're
like
perfectly clear.
Okay.
And the other 214 number, which I'm sure is Sister Regina.
Yes, praise the Lord. How you doing?
Oh, just wonderful. I'm excited to hear what everyone has to say about these topics, and I just went over them. But before I do that, I want to share something with everyone real quick. I'm going to go back here, and I want you guys to know that I don't believe this show is, just a waste of time. I'm going to share this with you. the shows that have been done, did she get back in? Let's see what she sound like now. Perfect. Perfect, Minister Bobby.
You can hear me.
Perfect. Okay, I'm going to share this with everybody. The last show we did was How Important is the Baptism and What Age?
All right.
We've had 196 people go back and listen to that show. So, you
all
know,
right.
That may not seem like a lot to some people, but somebody's paying attention.
Right.
Okay. So these shows really are not in vain. It's not just that we're not wasting our time.
All right.
Now, there was another show that was the one with public prayer and women in ministry. We've had 179 people go back and listen to that one.
All right.
Depression and spiritual warfare, we've had 105 go back.
Mm-hmm.
Tithes and offering. Okay, drum roll, please. You know we had a lot listening to that, right? We had 575 people go back and
great.
Listen to that show.
Great.
That's right. That is great. Types of worship, 103. And the top show that we had people listen to is Satan, the Guidance for Divine Worship. We've had 711 people go back and
all
listen
right.
to
all
right.
All right. Lord, hallelujah.
Yeah, so we're not, you know, it's not, we're not just here just wasting time. You know, I just wanted you guys to know that because I know you take time out of your busy schedule to do this. So it's somebody is getting something. You know,
all right.
Somebody
that's
is
awesome.
Something.
That's awesome. So this is another way that we are spreading the gospel. Yep.
That is going on.
Okay. It sounds like I think it's Evangelist Williams got like a. Is your window down
Wind.
Or something? Yeah,
well,
it sounds like Wind.
Yeah, I'm outside. I'm ready to go inside the building.
Okay. Okay. Well, again, our topics today are how does one know when he or she is saved? And also,
okay.
Is there such a place as purgatory? We're also going to discuss if everyone that's saved, is that person also anointed? And the last thing we're going to discuss is there a proper dress attire for women in ministry or women entering the house of praise in general? Is there a proper way for women to dress? When entering, you know, the house of the Lord. So we're going to discuss those topics, and I already know that Evangelist Williams and I, just one second, Reverend Williams, I want to say hello to you. I know you're on the line, and if you just want to listen, that'll be fine.
Okay. Hello.
Do you just want to listen in today?
I'll probably step in, but I'm going to just listen right now.
Okay, well, then that's fine. Evangelist Williams, did you go to 1 Peter 3, 2 through 5?
Well, I didn't have any scriptures because I didn't have time to dig them out. But I would
okay.
like to comment on scripture today that others found.
Okay. Well, now that I found that, and it's written two different, you know, I went to two different, you know, different, you know, they have the new version and the New King James
right.
version. So 1 Peter 3, 2 in the New International Version says, when they see the purity of reverence of your life, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past would put their hopes in God, used to adorn themselves. they submitted themselves to their own husband. Okay, now that's one way that that is written, and another way that it's written is your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as a braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, which is pretty much the same thing, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful.
Okay. Well, I'm familiar with that one also. Now, this is we're discussing the topic of how we should dress in church, right?
Yes.
Worship service. Okay.
Yes.
Now, we heard the scripture, and basically it's saying that there is not a certain thing that you can wear, a thing that you need to wear. You need to let your inside dress you. Now, mm-hmm. I just want to say a few words on modest apparel. Now, you know, Joyce, all of us dress. Going to the club, going to do different stuff, you know, different stuff. Some of us dress the same way going to church. But we were always taught that you dress, you know, real nice, you know, dress up when you're going to the house of the Lord. Because if you're going to go in to give him a pure heart, you need to have the outside looking, you know, a little decent at least, you know. In other words, I'm going to break it down a little bit. Some of us wear our clothes too tight. Some of us wear our cleavage too low. Some of us wear our shirts and dresses too short. And when I say that, I'm speaking in terms of if you are showing too much of your body, I don't think that's modest apparel. If you're showing too much of your body, if you're drawing too much attention to everybody, you know, if everybody looks and says, oh, there she is, look what she got on. Oh, my goodness. You know, oh, that is just awful. We're just showing a little bit too much. And who wants to take all the attention from the Word of God? None of us. I mean, if we're going to church to worship and praise God and to, you know, intermingle with each other and have a good time in the Lord. If there's somebody in there, say, for instance, me, I'm stepping up, looking, as we call it, a mess. That's just, you know, I think it's out of order. So now what we teach at the Savings Place, we teach the ladies to cover your neckness. Cover your neckness. And they know what we mean when we say that. Not too low, not too short. Not too tight, not cut to where everybody can see the prints of your body parts.
Amen.
And we leave it up to them. Now, as far as pants, we have older people in our church. So as far as pants are concerned, our pastor asks us out of respect. Get to the scripture that says, if eating meat would offend my brother, I would eat meat, you know, in my brother's presence or as long as my brother is around or whatever. So he just asked the young ladies not to wear pants because some of the older members of our church, the church mother, they kind of think that it's just not real nice. And that includes pants sets, dress pants sets. We just don't wear pants to our church. Now, we have a police officer, and sometimes she'll come in, and she just wants just to get in the church. She just want to get in because she's missed the service, and she'll come in on the last minute. You know, on the last tail end, she'll sit at the back. Not to offend anybody, but just because she wants to be in the house of the Lord. And we don't, nobody says anything. Nobody even thinks anything about it. Because, you know, and like on casual things, our ladies wear pants. If they're traveling, they wear pants. And nobody says anything about it. But as far as our services are concerned, nobody in our church wears pants into the sanctuary.
Okay. Okay. Minister Bobby. You have something
yes.
you want to add?
Well, I was listening to my Pastor Williams there, and I totally agree with her. She taught me back when she was in Montgomery how to dress, and it really blessed me because I was in that mixed emotion. I was giving out the wrong signals to people. I was confessing Christ, but I was looking like the world. So I would like to say that we should dress in respect of ourselves and honor of God. And some people feel like dressing has nothing to do with it if my heart is right. I felt that way, but that was all wrong because, thank you, Jesus, because I was not being who I looked like I was. And when I heard this topic, I thought about how now they come in with those mini dresses and those tights. They come in with these earrings and their nose and their eyes and their tongue, and they look just like the world. The Christ says, in the world, out of the world. So if we've been totally, glory to God, saved, then we don't want to look like the world. We want to look like saved ladies. So I really appreciate the scripture you gave in 1 Peter 3:2-4, because that's how a woman of God, in my heart, if they want respect from not just their husband but from the world, then they should dress in accordance with that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to bring another caller on the line, and then I'm going to say something about that. 214 caller, are you there?
Yes.
214-883.
Yes.
And who do we have?
Evangelist Patricia Burns from the Savings Place Church.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, where I attend church, we are allowed. Well, basically, we are allowed to wear whatever you want to wear. Now, my home church, like I say, which is Mount Zion in Huntsville, Texas, that's my home church. We grew up with that thing, you know, like we discussed before about what they tell you as a child. If you don't get understanding, you don't know what they're talking about. But the thing was, come as you are. So we couldn't say we don't have something to wear. They say, come as you are. And that's the way they taught us. But now we know what come as you are mean. But as a child, that's what they told us. None of us wore suits or anything like that. Well, my mother was a little bit different because she had our clothes tailor-made. We didn't buy stuff off the rack. So I had on, you know, dresses and stuff, but I didn't wear shorts or anything like that. Yeah. So you know, that was that. But as when I grew up and I'm still attending the same church, I kind of had a bad feeling, and I had to ask for forgiveness because I loved my pastor, and it wasn't that we shouldn't wear pants to church. We should wear pants to church because someone came into the church. We had visitors one Sunday. They came into the service, and they had on pantsuits. And he called them out in front of the congregation. And you know that you know I feel like you call a person to the side, and you tell them, you know, because that person could have been looking for a church home. They could have been seeking a church home. And if they are embarrassed like that in open public, then they're not going to come back there anymore. They may not go to any church anymore. So that's what I had a thing with, but we were not allowed to wear pants. Well, we have a new pastor now, who we just love. But now the women can wear pantsuits. Now that don't mean come in there with anything on. You know, the women wear their pantsuits, the nice like a business type suit, to you know, to service. And I personally don't have a problem with that. Because I attend now, I wear pantsuits, you know, especially when it's cold. You know, I wear pantsuits, but I'm going to cover up, you know, because I'm I'm a modest, and it's a shame because I always talk about when I was out in the world, but even then I covered up. You know,
uh-huh.
I didn't walk around just exposing my body. You know,
right.
I that was just something I didn't do. I didn't do the nose rings, the this and that. I didn't do all
right.
of that. Because we were taught that women were not even supposed to wear red lipstick to church. You know, it was
right.
You know, you don't wear this, you don't wear that. So, you know, I understand, you know, what Evangelist Williams and you too, Minister Bobby, I understand what you're saying because I believe that women, I believe everybody should enter the house of God in a respectable manner. I truly believe that.
Amen.
And I see a lot of young women come in to the church where I explained to you guys where I am now. That's closer to me where I go, and they have on spaghetti strap, tops and mini skirts and micro mini skirts and shirts with their back completely open and to me it's not decent because this is the way I've always told myself that our parents told us that if God appeared today, what is what you're doing, would you have to stop doing it? You know,
yes.
And so would you
have to
feel comfortable standing in the presence of God dressed like you're dressed?
Amen.
And a lot of people wouldn't. A lot of women would not.
Right.
Amen.
Right. So, Reverend Williams, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah. Every topic y'all get into, it's just hard to sit back and don't say nothing. But the one thing about it is that everything y'all saying is right. And there are a lot of women that go to church and want to say, it's okay. You're not there preaching to my clothes. I'm not preaching to your clothes. But God did set a standard for every Christian that walks this earth. How you talk, how you walk, how you look, okay? Jesus was stuck in his hand for everything we touch.
Mm-hmm.
He was pierced in his feet for everywhere we walk. He was
mm-hmm.
pierced in his stomach for everything we digested.
Glory.
But the one thing about it, over in First Peter, the second chapter, in verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation.
Right.
Mm. A royal priesthood.
That's what I'm talking about.
A holy nation, a peculiar.
Yeah. Amen, amen.
You don't act like the world.
Come on.
And then the book of Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Holy and acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you don't, I hate to do it this way, but if we don't have the sense to sometimes stand in the mirror and say, Lord, is this acceptable to you? Then
come on.
You're not trying to please. Your whole thing is not. I look at people. See, when I was in the world, I've always wore my open shirts and my puff sleeves and my gold chain, my chest out, because I wanted to please the women.
Yes.
Yes.
But now, when I put on a suit, I'm not trying to please no women. I'm just coming to church.
That's right.
Amen.
And so
we need
to understand, when you come to the house of God, you are not supposed to be trying to take the attention off the service onto yourself.
That's it.
Amen.
Trying to get your, let me put it like this. I can understand why some preachers don't want jeans, because some women want to try to show every curve they got.
That's right.
And whatever curves you got, that's for your husband to know about.
That ain't for
every man to know about.
That's exactly right.
And to wear your dress all up your thighs and all the way down and your top all the way down, and you might as well just say, come on naked.
That's right.
But the thing is, God wants us to have a life, even men, to have a lifestyle, to check ourselves.
That's right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're on the road of wrecking yourself. So
okay,
one thing about it, go ahead.
Now, I'm going to let you go ahead. You go ahead and finish.
But I'm just saying that we should always stand in the mirror. If you feel good about it, you don't know him well, you got on the wrong thing.
That's right.
Standing up there trying to make an excuse why you got it on, you know you got on the wrong thing.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
did anybody mention 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10? I have another call on the line. I'll get
to, okay.
Let me bring him on right now, and then we'll discuss 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. Hi there. Is this Minister Jordan?
Yes, it says. Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
How are you? And welcome.
Thank you again. I'm glad to join my brothers and sisters in Christ tonight for another call. Even though I'm in and out of radio duties, but, you know, we always find the time to here to work.
Okay. Evangelist Williams does not have, you say you didn't have the scripture with you, so I'm going to read that. It said, I also want the woman to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
And can I share something? I used to be the world's worst because I made lots of money and I bought what I wanted because it was very pretty. And if there is a such thing as a conviction, the Holy Ghost convicted me. And I was doing this after I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicted me. So if people see me now, mostly every suit I have, now I didn't go from the expensive thing because I like nice things. Nothing's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
My coats are under my hips. Now, I'm right at 154 pounds, so I'm not big.
Mm-hmm.
But because I work the altar and because I bend over a lot, you know, people are slain in the spirit, I work with them on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
My clothes need to cover my body. I don't want anybody not to get what they're seeking for because they're looking at me. And this is where we miss it a lot of times. We need to dress appropriately. Now, I'm not saying wear a suit coat when you're going to the park or when you're doing a church outing. I'm not saying that. But we're in the worship hall. We can worship the park, but we need to be appropriately dressed. And a lot of times, Reverend Williams was saying, we don't need to have everybody looking at us. You don't have to be the fanciest thing in the church every time you go to the house of God. But if we look in the mirror, and that's one thing I have taught down through the years. I taught my children when they were small, look in the mirror. You won't have to ask anybody anything if you look in the mirror. And if you can't see that well, put on some eyeglasses. Look in the mirror. And what you see is just it.
Amen.
If it's too tight, if it's too big, if it's too short, whatever you see, that's it. And we need
that's
to correct it before we go
that's
out.
That's right.
And that's it.
Yeah. Minister Jordan, do you have a word on this topic we're discussing, which is the proper dress attire for women in the church or in ministry, or just a woman entered into the house of the Lord?
Well, basically, I didn't really have time to prepare, but I'm just coming off the top of my head. Temple of the Lord resides within you. First, we have to get the inside right. And once the inside right is right, then the outside would definitely fall into place. Society has pretty much has, you know, throughout the years, have kind of a loosened the code. But if we are a living sacrifice or we're a representative of the kingdom, number one, well, let me see how I'm going to put this. Number one, you know, we ought to represent the Lord anywhere we go. And as far as from a human standpoint, we ought to, you know, respect ourselves instead of walking out. This goes for men and women, because men are not guilty of this either, you know. But we have to make sure when we go into the house of the Lord that we are presentable, you know, in the sight of His eyes. You know, the only times that we knew that in the Bible that, you know, man walked around naked is when they were in the Garden of Eden. So once they sinned and ate of the fruit, that's when they knew they were naked and they covered themselves. So we've got to take that example. Why should we walk into the house of the Lord and disrespect Him? For He has given us much blessings. And if you don't have any clothes, number one, there's always, you know, places where you can get it. But it, like I said, it starts from within us. Once we purge ourselves and become that living sacrifice before the Lord, everything else is going to fall into place. All that coming into the church looking like Saturday Night Special, you know what I mean? That means that, number one, you don't have no God in you. You know, you may know Him, but you're not living that lifestyle to where, you know, that's pleasing Him. So I've heard a little bit on this call, you know, about how women should present themselves, and, you know, it is a distraction. You know, I am a minister. I don't let that bother me at all, because, you know, I have my eyes focused on Him. So walking into a church, number one, we should know that, especially we have some old school values instilled in us from the old school. The older people did not even allow us to even walk into the church. Like I said, it's the new school now that was saying, oh, it's okay. And don't twist the word of come as you are. No, it did not mean
that.
Yeah. It didn't say dress attire. It said, it was saying come as you are, how you are. Wounded or sad. It didn't say anything about attire. But we always get the word. I'm gonna let the discussion go. We let society dictate to us or dictate to the ones that say, let's try to turn this scripture around. If it don't say it in the Bible, then I don't want it. Okay. That's what
I do, if you don't mind, Sister Moderator, I do believe that somebody come in off that street and God has led them to the place where you worship. It doesn't matter what they have on. You can go in the back and get them some clothes like they out of place.
Yeah,
but
somebody,
I'm like this for
yeah, I
for
hear
somebody coming
hold
in.
On just a second. Somebody is either turning pages or shuffling.
Okay,
go ahead, Reverend William.
One thing we have to remember is not too much to knock a person, but to get women who are out there just coming into the faith is to come to Bible study. You come the first time, you may have been dressed wrong, but come in and let the Word of God transform you.
Amen.
And as you get the word of God, you know, I watched a young lady came out of from Louisiana to our church, and she came in, they come to Bible study, and I seen how they were dressed, and all of a sudden I seen how her dress came from her over her knees down to her ankle.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Go ahead, Reverend William. I thought you had.
But I'm just saying that it's how people who allow the Word of God to focus into their lives, that you have some that want to claim God, but don't want to step to be that which God actually called us to be, because they don't want to change their attire.
Right.
You know, Reverend William, this is just. What I've seen, you know, and I'm going to always speak on what I've seen. It's my belief. It's my belief that a lot of the women that wear those clothes into the church are wearing those clothes for the same reason that they wear them outside of the church. They are looking for something, and it's not God.
But that's what I believe. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if there's one who sincerely come to the house of the Lord, and they came up to accept
William,
Christ
why are you
in
laughing?
Their life, and they come up to accept Christ in their life, I believe that then you pray that they come to church. But now I agree with you, Sister Moderator, that there are those who come in trying to find them a boyfriend.
There's no other reason for you to dress. In that manner, other than to show yourself. There's really no reason to dress like that.
Well, you got some men that feel like, oh, well, let me put on this pimp daddy suit so I can come to this. This is what some of the men say. The best way to find you a good woman is in the church. I'm like, okay, if you believe that.
I was waiting on somebody to say something about a man.
Is that why you were laughing? But you know it's the truth, because now, and no disrespect to Reverend Williams, no disrespect to Minister Jordan, but you know I have a play brother that is a pastor, and you know I used to watch him, and I watch him, you know, with the women, and he said something one day. It wasn't really just out there, but Evangelist William, you know me. You know how I pay attention to every word somebody say. So I told him, I said, you know, you've been wanting to say that to her the whole time you've been having a conversation. And he said, why would you say that to me? Don't you know I'm a minister? I'm a pastor. And I said, but the thing is, you were a man before you became a pastor.
Yeah.
And you're still a man. So when she presents herself like that, if your flesh is still weak, You're gonna respond as a man.
That's right.
Rather than as a pastor. So there are women that know that, or hope for that's the way that it will happen.
Yeah.
Well, can I say something?
Sure.
That is a true statement. Don't get it twisted, and that's why. You know, when I started my ministry, I asked God to, you know, bless me with a wife.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But that is true. You know, because you know, if we as ministers, you know, we are men. We just wearing a title, and at the end of the day, when we go to heaven, the first
just
the only
title we're
gonna
on
wear,
it's just a title we put on our
head. It's the only thing we're gonna have is service. Once we go back to Jesus and we go before our Maker, it's going to be, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, so that's a whole other discussion, too, because people get hung up on title. But if we're not right as far as the men of the cloth are, you know, we have to, you know, ask God to give us, and that's when temptation is going to come. You know, I'm not going to deny it. At first, when I first started my ministry, you know, I had the craziest stories when women said, oh, I just love pastors and ministers, you know, but I had to pray to God and be like, Lord, you know, this is not what this is all about.
Amen.
So, you know, we as men,
go ahead, bro.
I can shock a lot of amen. Ooh, heavenly Jesus.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank God. Oh, Lord. Amen.
All right. Does anyone have anything else to say about this topic before we move on to the other one? Because we have three more to cover.
Well, we can agree that modest apparel is for both men and women.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
All, All right. The next topic that we're going to discuss is, this is going to be a hard one, and I guess I'm going to ask Reverend Williams to start on this one. Is there such a place as purgatory?
Put it straight blank to the point and ain't even getting ready to twist it and try to show no scriptures and all that other stuff, because I know what scriptures people try to show is no such thing as a purgatory.
Amen.
First off, people take the scripture where Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Okay? He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, I look at only thing Jesus came talking about, kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so,
amen.
I hadn't, only thing I heard Jesus even talk about, the place called heaven and hell.
In hell. Uh-huh.
But he says, the dead in Christ shall rise. And he said, we're all asleep. And so I don't believe there's no holding place for you to get yourself right and all that other stuff. Because once you leave here, ain't nothing you can do about anything. So I don't believe in no purgatory. And I can't even, there's no such scripture to even try to give that a face base.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. We have some more callers on the line that want to come in. Let's just get everybody in here that want to be in here. And we can all discuss the topics together. I have an 832-299.
Amen.
832-299. Caller, did you want to say something?
Oh, hi. My name is Pastor Ruth Williams from Willis, Texas. How are you doing today?
Oh,
good.
Hi.
Evening.
Are you?
How are you doing?
I'm blessed.
Okay.
I just wanted to announce
the
my name.
Let me get the other caller on, and then I'm going to come back to you and let you tell us. Well, go ahead and do that now, and then I'll bring the 936-649. I'll be bringing you on next. So, Pastor Ruth, go ahead and tell us your where we can find you, your church,
okay,
and all of that.
Repeat that.
Go ahead and
that
tell
question.
Us your church, where you worship, and your status.
Okay, well, I'm the proud pastor of Life Changing Outreach Ministries, a.k.a. LCOM. Our church is located in a little small town called Maynard, Texas. It's in between Willis and Conroe, Willis and New Waverly, Texas. And my husband is the headship, and he's Apostle Ernest Williams, Jr., and that's where we worship. And I just buzzed on at the end. So what is the question or the topic?
Today we have, do you mind let me get the other person on, and then I'll just give all four of them
problem.
Again for everybody,
yes,
so everybody have them. Just one moment, please. I really appreciate you calling. 936-649, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How y'all doing today?
We're fine. And who do we have?
My name is Minister Nikita Johnson. I'm part of Life Changing Outreach Ministry.
Okay.
Under the leadership of Apostle Ernest Williams, Jr.
Okay.
And Pastor Ruth Williams.
Amen.
Hey,
Sister Nikita.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Okay.
Amen.
We have somebody on the line, and I was telling them before the show how many people have gone back and listened to the shows that we've done, and I'll go over that before we end the show and let everyone know that this is not, we're not wasting our time here. We have, you know, a large number of people going back listening to each show. And as long as it's there and they can do that, go back and listen, somebody is getting something from it.
Amen.
Okay, the questions again today for the new callers are, how does one know when he or she is saved? That's one question. We haven't gotten there yet. What we have covered is there a proper dress attire for women in the church? And I'll just say that we're in the church, period, or especially for the women in the ministry, but women in the church to enter into the house of the Lord. Is there a proper way that a woman is supposed to adorn herself or dress? Also, is there such a place as purgatory? And that's what we are discussing now. And there was one more, wasn't there? Is everyone that is saved, is that person
anointed.
Also anointed?
Oh.
So right now we're discussing, is there a purgatory? And Reverend Williams just told us he didn't have to go to the scripture to answer that. The answer is no. So just jump right in, someone else. Pastor Ruth?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to come in on that? Or are you just listening in?
No, because I don't think there's an in-between.
Okay.
I honestly don't. I don't think that there's an in-between. And there's not scripture to validate that, not that I found. And I'm not saying that I know the whole Bible, because the Bible says that we're forever learning. So, and that is scripture.
Amen.
But I don't know of any scripture. I can search, but I don't know of any scripture. I do know immediately after death, there comes judgment. And that's when you go before God himself. And that point, he's the one that does the ultimate determination of whether you're entering into heaven or whether you're entering into hell. I don't know of an in-between. So my answer would be no. I mean, somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that there's as Pastor Williams said, a holding tank.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else on the line have a different viewpoint of this? If you do not be ashamed or afraid or whatever to say it. This is a discussion.
Well, I thank God for y'all, because I thought purgatory was hell.
It's not actually defined as hell.
But I'm telling you, I didn't know how to spell it, so I didn't know how to look it up.
Yeah, me neither.
So, y'all pray for me for real. I'm glad you said it, why you're going to purgatory.
Reverend William, you said you know what scripture that people use for that. Did you share that with us?
It's when Jesus was on the cross.
Now, I know that the scripture that they say they use it in 1 Corinthians 3 and 15, and also 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, I guess it would be 3, 12 through 15. Yeah,
chapter 3, verses 12 through 15.
Okay. Yeah, that
that is the passage. I beg your pardon? 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15.
Right.
Now, we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses
12 through 15.
And they more or less reference in where, you know, where I researched it, because I hadn't seen anything about purgatory in the Bible. I've seen the word purgatory in the Bible, but I've never seen anything about purgatory. But if it is burned up, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And that's pretty much what they are calling purgatory.
If that's what they're calling purgatory, without any solid definition or foundation, then that's something that's fabricated. It's made up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't take a scripture. The Bible says don't add or take away from the scripture.
Well, is that a scripture? Did you read that?
No, it's not actually defined as a scripture. And even in 1 Corinthians 3, reading from verses 12 all the way to 15, it's not talking about anything with purgatory. And I don't even see how they can cross-reference that, because even as I look and try to cross-reference it, it doesn't define that word.
It doesn't define it. Okay.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
But just like y'all didn't even know how to spell it.
Would you say pill?
I didn't know how to spell it.
Say it wasn't even important enough that you didn't even bother to look up, huh? Because you knew it wasn't real.
Well, we're having a good time today, aren't we?
Amen.
Okay. So you know what? What I'm going to do at this point, we're going to just pass that one right by. We're not going to even waste any time on that.
No.
We're not going to waste time on that. We're not, you know. The answer is no. Well, for anybody that's listening or come back and listen to this, the answer is no. And if anyone that is listening can find something, and there's a message box on the page where you come back to listen, just send a message through there and tell us exactly where it is in the Bible, and I will address the group with it on our next call. Now, the next topic is everyone, how does someone know when they're saved? And I guess I'm going to ask Minister Bobby to start that one, and then I'm going to ask Minister Jordan to follow her.
Okay. Before we go on, can I give the definition of precatory?
Sure.
Some religions, church belief, it's a belief that they brought up in the church. It says it's a place or condition of suffering in which souls undergo purification before going to heaven. Now, Rick said that can't be so, because 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 tell us we'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. So if we're going to already be changed, then what was the need to go to purgatory for the purifying of the soul, before going to heaven. Mm. So I just want to say I agree also.
Amen. The answer is no.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
There we go.
Okay, now, how do a person see
hope? Amen. Here we go again, y'all.
Say, Minister Bobby got that straight. Okay, we thank God for you.
Amen. We're not laughing at you, Minister Bobby. We just having a
good time. No, not at all. Not at all.
Amen.
We just having a good time at the question, that's all.
Okay. Now we're gonna move on to the next one. How does a person know if they're saved? Is there a scripture to let you know, you know, when you're saved?
A whole bunch of
okay. Minister Bobby, you got the floor.
I like the scripture, not just Romans 10:9-10.
Okay.
And Psalm 34:18 tells us, the Lord saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And I think that's saying that a person that feel remorse towards what they've done and how they're living, that the Lord come in and he saved them when they pray and call upon him, believing. But everything I looked up on and studied under that, it had to do with faith, and they had to believe. They had to believe even with Romans 10:9-10. They also had to believe Luke 8:12. They had to believe in Acts 16:30-31. What must I do to be saved? You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And even by faith in Ephesians 2:5-8, it says, by grace, through faith, we are saved. We have to believe first to even have the faith that God would even move to save us. And then when once we're saved, we are being delivered constantly from whatever sins that so easily beset us. So after being saved, we are delivered. So I just that was my study in which I come up with a whole bunch of scriptures on that.
So in other words, there's no reason not to know when you're saved.
Amen.
But it also said in James 1:21-27 that receive the word which is able to save your soul, and then you become a doer of the word and not a hearer.
Yeah.
So you can receive yourself.
Receive
the word of God through faith. Believing that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
Is she preaching? Is she preaching evangelist?
She is. She's preaching. That's the way she do.
And can I just add one? Can I just add one to that?
Yes.
In First John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You go good.
So that's also going along with Romans 10:9-10.
Nothing.
And we all know that is a very common scripture that everyone uses to often lead one to salvation.
Amen.
It's Romans 10:9-10.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Minister Jordan.
Not much I can add on that. I mean, John 14:16-17 kind of paraphrase it, you know, when we receive him, he pretty much is going to let us know once we accept him. You know what I mean? He's going to come to us and a change, as the minister says, that a change is going to come upon us at the same time. Oh. Because, you know, God speaks to us in a small voice. Because when we out in the world, we don't hear none of that. You know what I mean? So when we accept him,
you're right.
And he comes and dwells within us, you know, when we have, and I'm just taking this from a human point of view, when I accepted Christ, you know, a new change came over me. You know, as Reverend James Cleveland said, you know, I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. And when he gets a hold of you, you know what I mean, a feeling that you cannot shake. You know, no feeling or no emotion in this world can give you the feeling and the love of comfort that the love of God can give you. So you will know. I mean, you will definitely know when you accept Christ and say, hey, this is you are my Savior, you are my God. You know what I mean? And I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You accept him, that change just comes over you and you know. Even though when we backslide, like the verse says, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And we know, you know, that other rascal, I don't even want to acknowledge him. He can never give us that feeling. You know, he's trying to, you know, seek, kill, and destroy. But God is such a loving God. You know, once we accept him, regardless of when we do wrong, we ask for repentance. He's a loving God, but I'm going to stop because that's a whole other subject. But we always have to stop for the perfection of Christ. So, yeah.
Okay. Amen. You know, we haven't heard from Sister Regina. You know, I'm going to always call you out because I just love to hear you talk. So you just go right on. I know it's spilling over. It's just spilling over. I could just, you know, Evangelist Williams, I can hear that old time song thing, and I know I've been changed.
Uh-huh.
I can just hear it when Sister Regina started talking. So come on.
Praise the Lord. How y'all doing this evening?
Hi.
You know, it's just awesome. I mean, everything. How did I know that I'm saved? Mr. Bobby summed the same thing up that God had already gave me. Romans 10:9-10, and then with Ephesians 2:8. Hey. I mean, everything that he gave me, you know, that's how I know I'm saved, because I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Christ raised Jesus from the dead, so I am saved. So I'm a fresh towards the mark of the high quality in Christ Jesus.
You go, Eugene.
And everything I tell you, it's awesome. It's just all by itself, and I thank God that, hey, the perpetrator, I was confused myself. I thank God. He had somebody there to enlighten me and help me get a clear understanding of what they were saying. You know, all of it's just good. So he's good all by himself.
Amen. Now, there's somebody else that has not said something.
Evangelist Burns.
Yeah.
Is she still on?
Yes. Is she gonna? She's there. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. That's another caller that's just on holding.
Okay.
So anybody want to sum that up? Reverend Williams, did you say anything about that?
Not yet.
But I will like to share that. I go with everyone that said out of the book of Romans, the one thing how you know you saved mm-hmm. is by your faith. Mm-hmm. Your faith is, let me put it like this, in every storm, let me put it like this. When I fell out with a heart attack, I wasn't saying, Lord, save my life. Get me off this floor. Lord, oh, only thing I could do was lay there on that floor and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the only thing I could do was lift my hand and just say, well, Lord, there's nothing I can do from this point, but ask you to just take my soul in your hand. And so when we come to know faith, for the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. And if you have the word of God in your heart, you walk in faith and by faith. And you live by faith. That's how you know when you're saved. You don't allow yourself to get taken by the world. You know, the world always want to suck us in. But when you walk in by faith and you know you are saved, and so I could say some other things when I used to, you know, when I used to say, when somebody cuss me out and you don't go back at them, then you know you're saved. But now I'm not going there because I look at the word of God is settled in my heart. Then I'm going to do when that thing they used to say, what would Jesus do? Then I'm do what Jesus told us to do. It ain't what Jesus did, it's what Jesus told us to do. What he taught on the mountain, the sermon on the mountain, in Matthew, even in Luke, when you can love your enemy, when those despitefully use you, you can still pray for folks. You can still have that love for them. That's when you know you're saved.
Amen. That's a good one there, Reverend Williams. Because you know that's hard to do, you know. Even for a saved person, sometimes you kind of you know,
right.
People can push you to a limit, and but you have to really think about it. That's a good one.
And people can push you to a limit. You know, I was pushed into a limit when they told me I was coming out the hospital and changed their mind. But somebody had to preach the word of God into my system. Let me know you are called by grace. So don't give in to what Satan's trying to do. You just lay here. They're going to get you out of here before nightfall.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to share Mark 16:16 say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then verse 17 goes on to say, the signs that shall follow them that believe. So it is that take place in that person's life and the way they look at things, how they feel about things, and how they love, especially love. But they say they that are born of God is love, for God is love. So we have to be born of God to know God that we may love. So I just thank God for that.
Amen.
For that word.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So has everyone had a say on this?
Minister Nikita Johnson is not saying anything, and she's still on the line.
Hello? Hello?
Yes,
hello?
We can hear you.
Oh, well, me, I feel like if we do like the word says that, you know, Jesus, he gave us an example, Levi, and if we take his lead and we confess, like Romans 10:9-10 said, we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, yes, we are definitely saved. You know, you got to believe the thing and take the example that's given to you and follow it. And once you do that and the word is in you, you study your word and everything, people will begin to notice, hey, there's something different about her.
Okay.
That something is changed in you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. All right.
So you know, Evangelist Williams, on one of our shows, you were saying, and you said it repeatedly. You said if people know the Word of God, they'll do the Word of God. And I just think that someone that is willing, you know, willing to do the word of God is a saved person. You know, that person is saved. If they are willing and actually doing living the word of God, then they know they're saved.
Amen. And you know what? And other people will know that you're saved also.
That's right.
Somebody else would know that you're saved. Now, you're not going to be the only one that knows you're saved.
Right.
Come on now.
Before I got saved, everybody knew I wasn't saved. But now,
Amen.
By the life that I live,
Amen.
People know that I'm a changed person.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So there's going to be a difference now. Because, see, some people think because they go through Romans 10:19 and say, yes, I believe that God raised his son Jesus from the dead. Because they say, man, now I'm saved. But your lifestyle has got to change.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't
and that includes that how you dress in going to the church.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's a part of it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay, now what was our other question was?
The last one was if you're saved, if everyone's saved, anointed.
Right.
No. The answer is no. According to what we just said, you can repeat the scripture, Romans 10:9-10, and your life don't even have to be changed. Now, for sure, if you're going to have the anointing of God on your life, you're going to certainly be changed. So when you repeat the scripture, the Bible says you're saved, but it didn't say he was anointed.
Okay.
That's right.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
Minister Jordan. Minister Jordan, is he there? Okay, he's on the line. And okay, Reverend Williams.
Yes. I agree with everybody else. We have to remember that just because we have come to Christ and we announce Christ in our life.
Amen.
God hadn't set. There are levels that we take.
Amen.
There are levels who he gives to children.
That's right.
And everybody wasn't called to preach. Everybody wasn't called to speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wasn't callers. You know, a guy asked me one time, Reverend, have you ever cast the devil out of somebody? I said, no, and I ain't getting ready to try because God ain't gave it to me.
Amen.
Why? I'm not getting ready to be like them Pharisees over in the book of Acts. Just they saw Paul. Some kingdoms had to tell them. They said, Jesus is Nazareth, we know, and Paul, we know. If we don't, they got beat up out of their clothes. That's the thing we have to remember.
Let's see who that is. You hear the background noise, Evangelist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the background.
Probably, I think Ruth is on her job, and I think that's the lady talking.
Oh, no, ma'am, that's not me. That's not me this time. No, that's not me this time. No one is in the living quarters with me.
Okay.
Okay. Reverend Williams, you can go on. You can continue.
I need to ask Reverend Williams something before he closes his little conclusion.
Okay.
Amen. We think because we done got called, we right then and there start doing stuff in the name of Jesus. Jesus ain't gave you nothing to go do all that. Because first off, he don't just give his power and reveal himself like we on a first time date. Okay? Life is like, with Christ, everything is like a pyramid. He don't start at the top. He works at the base. Jesus says, come unto me and learn of me. When you have, as we were talking about your salvation, you have to, as Minister Williams was saying, you have to be walking in that light.
Mm-hmm.
And once you come to walk in that light and give yourself to God, then it's at his choosing if he's going to give you that power. Now, to understand the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us we shall receive power. And he tells us to go therefore. You see, but I'm like this here. I went out one time to go do a street ministry, and I thought I was ready, and I thought I could just do it, and the devil shamed me up because I didn't, that's not what God had given me then. So I had to learn that you stay in your zone, you stay in your lane, you stay in your limit.
Okay.
That's my thought on it.
Reverend Williams, Evangelist Williams, you had a question, and then we're going to go to Minister Jordan.
Yes, I don't want to seem like that I'm trying to come against what Reverend Williams just said, but I want to understand. Did I not hear you say that it's not for all to speak in tongues, or what did you say about that?
I say every what Paul say there are gifts.
Now, are you talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the gift of tongues?
I'm talking about the gifts of God, which is indwelling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy
Ghost
indwells in us. You know, it was like, in other words, it was like I went to a church here in Houston, and I was sitting in the class, and the teacher say, everybody know I'm speaking in tongues, start speaking in tongues. And everybody starts shouting out something, and I'm like, you start speaking on the move that somebody else told you. But was it the Holy Ghost? Was it that gift?
You.
Now you understand
what I'm saying? Well,
I understand
what you're saying, because
he gave me that gift.
Let me tell you something. Now, I have two scriptures I want to share with you. We don't have to discuss this today. Joel 2:28.
All right.
There you go. Got to be.
And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit
upon all flesh. Jesus.
Amen.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour my spirit. Now, the only way, and this is not me saying this, this is the word of God, the only way we're going to receive the spirit of God is the evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about the gift.
No, not the gift.
I'm talking about his spirit. And this is the spirit that you'll go to Acts 2 and 4. Well, Acts 1 and 8, and then 2 and 4. It's the same Holy Ghost. And it comes with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is how men will know that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And
in
this
you.
Holy Ghost that I'm talking about, these tongues I'm talking about, is powerful enough to cast out demons. My granddaughter was demon possessed, and her mother that you're here talking on the line cast the demon out. The demon tried to go into another sister, and the Holy Ghost gifted that sister out the way. And we had to pray with her. But the demon, it was more than one demon. She called it by name. And this is an 18-year-old girl. But if you have the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, demons will tear your skin up. They'll tear you up.
I have no disagreements on what you're saying.
Okay.
But I do know scripture. Now, Paul says speaking in tongues is also that if one is there to interpret that which is being said. Only thing I'm saying, I don't go into areas that I know.
Okay.
God hadn't touched me with that yet.
Okay. I just thought that you were saying that, it wasn't for you.
I'm not saying. I'm saying everybody does not possess it. Everybody don't. Everybody don't possess laying on hands.
Okay.
So I believe that God gives us power. When he said, I pour out my spirit on all flesh, true. But we have to know what is, the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life. But he has gifts for us. But we have to identify.
He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave us those gifts to work down here.
Because the disciples tried to do what Jesus did, and they came and said, your disciples cannot do. And
do you
Jesus
know why?
Said, how long
because
do I
Jesus
have to
was still, what? Jesus was still
he,
on the scene, but
the
disciples did not do it.
Right. And he said, this does not come by just what? Prayer alone. It comes by what?
Fasting and praying.
Fasting and praying.
Amen. That's only. I'm not saying nobody can't do it. I'm not saying nobody. Hey, I'm just saying everybody don't bear that gift because God does not share His gift at all.
Well, I think it's a difference. I know it's a difference in the gift of tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues.
Of speaking in tongues.
Yeah, that's two different things.
That is two different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
The gift of tongues, everybody that's filled, the evidence to the unbelievers is that you're going to speak in unknown tongues. And now, when you're talking to the congregation, there is an interpretation when God sent a message.
Well, I'm just saying, Paul just said, the only thing Paul said was that I prefer you to prophesy than to speak in tongues. And now, I'm not saying folks can't do it. I'm just saying there's an order, and I'm like, I just still say, and I believe it, and I will rest on it, that it's a gift. It's a gift.
Okay,
gift
okay. So,
that
so it sounds to me like, really, both of you are saying the same thing. From you know, and I'm sitting here listening carefully, and it sounds to me like what Reverend Williams is saying is that some people don't receive that at a given time, and because I'm listening to him, and he said, "I don't have that yet. That haven't been given to me yet." And then I'm hearing you say, "Everybody." Should have it. Everybody should be able to speak in tongues.
Can I add something in there, please? Can I just jump in and say something here? In Acts 2, in Acts chapter 2, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It filled the whole house. And that was the anointing." And then it goes on to say, "And there appeared unto them clothed tongues like as a fire. And it set up on them. It set up on each of them." That was the Holy Spirit. It verifies it in even in verse 4. Everyone there was filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit because they were all there in one place on one accord. And it wasn't as if they could deny the power thereof. And it is a difference in the gift. You have to receive. You have to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I think that's what Evangelist Williams was trying to say. And it does. Even over in chapter 2, it says in verse 17, it says, "And it shall come to pass in these last days, said God," that's God saying, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It's saying his spirit is going to filter on all who will receive it.
That's right.
And we can't justify who is designated to receive this gift versus who is designated to receive this. It's according to you as an individual. We have to stand, when we even stand before God, we're standing before God, naked before Him, individually before Him. You can't go back and say, "Well, I didn't understand this, Lord, and now that I'm standing before you here, I didn't understand it. It wasn't taught to me," because the word itself will teach us. It said in that same stuff, I'll teach thee. Everything here is in the word for us. Well, it's up to us as an individual whether or not we're going to receive all of the gifts and the promises that God have already laid out for us. It's all in the word.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I have no problem. You know.
All right.
Brother Williams, I want to invite you to the savings place one Sunday when I minister.
Okay.
I love
y'all too, but I'm still going biblically Bible based. Now understand what it said.
Okay.
They all spoke in tongues, but you fail to read the next verse. It says, "Do we not understand?" Okay, first off, we have to understand what is speaking in tongues is. Okay.
But that doesn't mean a person cannot possess that gift.
Hold on. I said the question was, is everyone that is saved anointed
Right.
Now, I'm
that's
not
the
just
question.
Talking about speaking. I'm not just speaking and talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about laying hands on people.
I'm talking about casting
out demons.
Yep.
You have to know.
We got all this.
If that's the gift God gave.
Oh, I understand that. And I'm in agreement with you on that because it says lay hands on no man suddenly. The word also says that.
Okay.
The word clearly says that.
Only thing I'm saying, I don't want to put his spirit on all flesh. You know, I believe that.
I want to hear from Minister Jordan.
Hey.
Well, okay.
Hello?
Yes,
he's there.
Yes, I'm here. Are we on the anointing or are we talking about a sticking in tongues?
Is everybody anointed?
Is everybody anointed that's saved? Is are they anointed?
No. See, speaking in tongues doesn't mean
you're
anointed.
Well, the question is, but the answer, my answer is no. Because, like you said, Reverend Williams, you know, we all have different gifts in the ministry. You know, everybody's not going to be preacher, minister, bishop, etc. You know, you may be a Sunday school teacher. You know what I mean? But our gifts are going to be different in the Lord. You know, I know how to stay in my lane. I'm not going to go out here and try to cast out devils, but when that power is given to me, if God starts to give it to me, then I'll have it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is everybody anointed? We know we're anointed with something, but is everybody, you know,
I mean, it depends. No, don't worry about it, Rev. I mean, we're all anointed, but it depends on what gifts and what offices are that we're trying to operate out of at the same time, too. Because, like I was going to say, everybody don't have power to cast out devils. You know, everybody is not doesn't have that power to lay the hands on the sick. We all have to stand. You know what I mean? When God has developed that relationship with God, power.
Somebody's moving awful. Let me see. Go ahead, Minister Jordan. I'm trying to see where the background is coming from. Background. Go ahead.
I'm finished. I just said my little piece. I'm just enjoying hearing everybody's points of view tonight.
Amen. Can I ask a question?
Amen.
And I have a question to ask also. So go ahead, Evangelist William.
All right. Now, this is not a critical question. This is a question that I need to know. Say, for instance, Minister Jordan, I'm going to say you're Pastor Jordan. Minister William, I'm going to say you're Pastor William.
Okay.
If you are pastors at your churches and I come in, my name is Patricia William, I come in full of demons, are you going to tell me that you are a pastor and a leader over a congregation of people, and I'm going to leave out of your congregation the way I came, and I want to be delivered. I want to be delivered. You've got to help me. I come in, and I really need help. But you're the pastor, so that means you're the head. Tell me what kind of anointing you have to cast the demon out.
Okay. Now you're talking about exorcism versus praying.
No.
And hold on now. Hold on. Because one thing I told you, first off, Jesus, when he came out, now y'all gonna make me preach. He showed an he met the demons. He knew who they were. But he called out, who are you? First off, to identify who it is. And they said, we're a legion, we're many.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had the power. Now he told us, go ye therefore, casting out demons and everything else. But I'm just saying, me, myself, it doesn't matter if I'm the pastor, if I'm the preacher, and you come down with full of demons, I ran into them too. I just learned to pray on them. But I'm like this here. I just never just go running up, touching, and put my hand on my hand like God hadn't shown me. I'm just saying that.
But that doesn't mean that you won't pray.
No, it doesn't mean I won't pray. I'll pray for you. I'll pray over you. I pray. But going into all that other stuff, I'm like this. Unless God show me and tell me, I follow the direction of it's like something's happening. And I had to go pray last night to see if that's what God really wanted me to do. And just as I was getting ready to make me a move, God had showed me to go do that. And I'm glad I stayed still, because the only thing it was, I thought of cold blue enough, you know, somebody losing their life. But it wasn't. It was just a fire that was happening there. And so I had to identify, God didn't tell me to go move. And I have to make sure, is it of me or is it of God? And so a lot of things, I'm just saying, we do a lot of things because we want to check. It ain't just speaking in tongues. We do a lot of things to try to track ourselves. That's the only thing I'm saying. But I want to make sure I'm lined it up with God when I do anything.
Okay.
You know,
now, on that note, just a minute, Reverend Williams. On that note, I want to ask this question. Is it being said that a person who believes they are saved is not saved if they do not speak in tongues?
No, I ain't saying that.
No, I'm asking everyone as a whole.
No, I've not heard people say that.
The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you are saved.
Okay.
But we're talking about after you get saved, it's more than just being saved.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more than just being saved.
Amen. Okay.
Because let me tell you something. When I confess with my mouth, you know what I done? I confess with my mouth. My husband made me mad about something I read that can cuss him out. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I stopped cussing. That's all.
Okay.
I mean.
So that means you are doers of the word. So, I guess the question is. Okay, I saw this at church.
Okay.
They, you know, some of the congregation speaks in tongue, and some of them don't. And you know, doing the praise and worship and everything, and then they have people that this is what they say: if you want to receive the baptism of speaking in tongue, or the, you know, if you want to receive, come to the front. And what they do is they stand there with the person, and in their ear they're speaking in tongue, and they have the person repeat after them. And at the end of that, then the bishop will come by and say, you know, everybody that received, you know, I want you on the stage. So they go on the stage, and then he have them, okay, if you received it, then, you know, let me hear you. You're like, pretty much, you know, in that way. So then have all the people standing there speaking in tongue, repeating what they heard. And I think what like, Reverend Williams is trying to say is those people, and this is the way I believe, those people are not speaking in tongues. Those people are repeating what they heard. They are not doing that because they are filled with the Holy Ghost that made them, that brought that out of them. You know what I'm saying? So this is something that they just, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Not saying that
and
there's
I,
not a time in your during your faith walk that you will not speak in tongues, but I don't believe that should be a training lesson.
No, ma'am.
I don't believe.
It's not a training lesson.
No.
Yeah, it's not a training. It's not something that can be trained or taught to you. It's a gift.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that's what Reverend Williams is saying, is not that he believes he'll never speak in tongue, or that everybody wants it speak in tongue, but he says at God will put that on you. At that time,
if
at that given time.
If everybody go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you have it, and if
and
you read chapter 14, but I can give you the first verse. He says, first off, Paul began to talk about charity, that gifts are supposed to be done out of love, really. It's not supposed to be done for showing. And so Paul begins to say, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that he prophesy. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. This is what it's supposed to be for. Okay? For no man understandeth him, okay? Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. So I'm not trying to say that nobody bears it. I'm just saying God wants us to teach you. Make sure that you're not trying to elevate yourself. And me, I don't try to do it because he hasn't given it. I just have to do it. And,
Somebody has a lot of noise.
Yes.
Well, I'm sitting in the hallway where nobody's saying anything.
No, it's somebody. It sounds like someone is close to a computer. That's what it sounds like. It's like feedback.
Okay.
It's
better now, whatever it was.
It is. Okay.
And so I just invite everybody, when in your spare time, just read the whole chapter. And understand what God is trying to get us to understand. I'm not saying nobody can't possess it. I'm not saying nobody doesn't have it. But I do believe that we serve a God. He gives us. He said, I will pour out my spirit. But he just don't just give it to anybody and everybody. He just gives it to whom he see fit. Because everything, he doesn't share himself just like we do. Okay? It's like a man just met a woman for the first night. And next thing you know, he want to give a wedding ring on her hand and ain't court, ain't did nothing. And so only thing I'm saying, God is a God that starts from the base of learning about him. Just because we got saved doesn't mean that he just starts throwing stuff at us. We got to know him because he's
okay.
A God that shared.
Okay, so since the question was if everyone who is saved, are they anointed? And Evangelist Williams answered that with a no. And Reverend Williams, you both are saying the same thing. You really are. Evangelist Williams, you said no. Everyone that is saved is not anointed. Correct?
Amen.
Okay. And Reverend Williams, to me, is saying that everyone that's saved is not anointed, but he's choosing the anointed, the gift of tongue as one of the.
That's a point. It was just a point.
Right. That. So it's kind of you two are saying the same thing, that there's more
to it
than just being saved.
The reason I asked him the question was because he said that he don't speak in tongues. Everybody don't have to speak in tongues. Well, I'm not going to get into a debate about it. I can only say what the scriptures say, because everybody that wants anything from God, all they've got to do is ask him. The Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if I walk up to you and say, here's $1 million, and be reaching it to you, all you have to do is hold your hand out and get it. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. And that's the way I receive it. And that's how people receive it. They come to our church. They go to my daughter's church. They go to Holy Ghost-filled churches. And that's the way it happens. We don't get in nobody's ear and speak in tongues so they can mimic what we say. Tongues come out of their belly. That's the river of living water that flows out of your spirit.
Come on now. Amen.
And I'm going to be ministering. Let me give you. I'm going to be ministering in Conroe. I'll make my announcement there because I've got to take a long drive in the morning. So I'm going to have to get off. I'm going to be ministering tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Total Deliverance Ministries in Conroe, Texas. And that address is 2015 North Frazier. If you want the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, come. I'll lay my hands on you. And you get it.
Amen.
Y'all be blessed, because I've got to get up here so I can get ready to go.
Amen.
Okay. I'm just going to ask. Has everybody said what they had to say about the four topics? Okay. We did four.
No, how do you know when you say? Oh,
yeah, we did that. We did. How does a person know if they're saved? Is there such a place as purgatory? Is everyone that's saved anointed and the proper dress? So that was four topics, and we covered all four of them. And I think we did a great job on it. I think you guys did a great job. And Minister Bobby, I just love you.
Praise the Lord.
I just love you. I tell you.
Thank you.
So here, what we're going to do now, because we are getting ready to end the show, what I need to do is 832-299. That caller, I need you to identify yourself again and give them your place of worship.
Okay, my name is Pastor Ruth Williams. My place of worship is Life Changing Outreach Ministries, a.k.a. LCOM. It's located at 200 FM 1725 Road in Maynard, Texas, 77318.
Okay. Thank you for that. And 936-649 is the next number in our queue.
That's
give
Minister
your,
Johnson.
Hello?
Excuse me? Yes.
My
Minister
is,
Johnson.
Yes.
She just wants to know where you worship at.
At Life Changing Outreach Ministries. Under the leadership of Pastor Ernest Lee Williams Jr. and Pastor Rick Williams.
Okay, thank you for that. 979. Reverend Williams, that's you.
Okay. Yes, I attend Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Dinkins. We are a Bible preaching and teaching church. I invite you to come and fellowship with us whenever you're in the Houston area. And I pray that God will bless you and keep you. Amen.
Amen. 936. What's the address for Reverend Williams?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Our address is, we are located at 3741 Colvin Street. Okay.
Colvin?
Uh-huh. Colvin. We are off of Wallaceville Road in Houston, Texas. His name is Reverend J.D. Dinkins. Our phone number, if you want it, is 713-673-6309.
All right, okay. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, 936-672. I think that's Evangelist Williams. Is that right? No? Yes. Are you there? Oh, 936-672?
Yeah, that's Sister Bobby.
Okay.
Sister Bobby.
Okay, go ahead and give
us. I'm at place under the leadership of Pastor Elder James Williams and Sister Patricia Williams, Hutchinson, Texas.
Okay, Hutchinson, Texas?
Yes, ma'am. That's
okay.
Everybody, Pastor?
It's Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
It's
Dallas,
1618.
Texas.
It's, the address is 1618 Exeter Avenue in Dallas, Texas. I love
okay.
you, Minister Bobby.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Okay, 813. 813-381. Minister Jordan, that's you.
If you're ever in Tampa, Florida, you can stop by the Faith Temple Missionary Baptist Church where I serve there at 2916 Orient Road, Tampa, Florida, 33916.
Okay.
All right.
And then we have Sister Regina.
Praise God. Greetings from Saints Lake Holiness Church.
16 extras down in Texas. Praise the Lord.
All right.
Good night.
Amen. All right. I want to do something a little different right here. Evangelist Williams, are you still there?
I think she may have left.
Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Ruth. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
To give us a closing prayer, please.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Dear God, we thank you for the awesome anointing that rests upon this talk show. We thank you, God, for the wonderful men and women of God that you have placed together. God, we ask you to edify, strengthen, God. We ask that you build this talk show up, this radio show, in order to reach the nations. God, we bless you tonight for everything that you have done, everything that has been spoken. And we ask, God, that you continue to hover over us, keep us, guide us, protect us, and lead us, God, in your direction and all your truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let all the saints of God say thank God and amen.
Thank God. Amen. Okay, I want everyone to have a really blessed evening, and we're going to end the show at this time.
Yeah.
And I'll let the music play us out, and we will be back on Monday. If anyone has a topic that they would like to address, just let me know, and we'll bring it, you know, to the table.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Okay.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.